This is Actualize Freedom, straight talk on growing clicks and conversions on Amazon FBA from people doing it every day. Now here's your host, digital marketing acrobat, Danny Kenji Carlson.
What's up, guys? Danny Carlson here with the Actualize Freedom podcast. And today we have on James. You gotta help me with your last name, James. Here, what is your last name? You say it, or else I'm gonna butcher it. I promise.
DeHarjo.
James DeHarjo is the co-founder of Merchant Spring, which I'm sure most of you guys have heard of at this point. They are a fast-growing software company in the Amazon space, and they've been part of the e-commerce space in Australia since the early days of e-commerce. And James is responsible for customer success and is obsessed with providing industry-leading e-commerce analytics to sellers all over the world. So today's episode, guys, we're going to be diving deep into what global selling on Amazon really looks like. James has some interesting insights and data to show what the global selling landscape actually looks like, who is selling into what countries, from which countries, and the answer is probably going to surprise you guys. And then also how to leverage reporting so you're actually profitable and it can actually make good business decisions. This is something that I personally have been learning a lot about, the importance of having good data and good ways to actually visualize that data to make key business decisions. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast, James. How's it going?
Thank you, Danny. Really appreciate you taking the time to have me on your podcast, man. And down here in Melbourne, I'm doing as well as I possibly could be.
Yes. Well, your social media accounts haven't been seized yet, so that's good. That means you're not about to get arrested by the Australian government. So that's off to a good start there. But the first thing I want to ask you about, James, is so it's very interesting that a lot of people know that people selling into the US marketplace are not always American companies or American people, right? But you have some really interesting data about exactly which countries people are selling from. And so tell us a little bit about, like, what does that global selling landscape look like for Amazon sellers right now?
Yeah, so we've just done a pretty big research piece as to kind of answering the question of where are the Amazon sellers based, and what is the makeup of, you know, the foreign, well, this Amazon selling cohort in different different markets. So starting with Australia as an example, right, Danny? You know, we found out that about 2/3 of the Amazon sellers in Australia aren't even in Australia, right? Which is very, very interesting, because it's clearly shows that, you know, a lot of Amazon sellers see this kind of new Amazon market as an opportunity for various reasons. Now, we did similar research in, you know, other key Amazon markets. For example, as you mentioned, you know, we looked at Amazon US as well. And, you know, what we found, again, is fairly interesting in that, you know, in the US, about 60 to 65% at various, you know, time periods of Amazon sellers in the US are based in the US. And the balance, like 30 to 35%, are actually from outside of the US. Now, they're coming from places like China, Canada, US, India, Hong Kong, even Australia, UK, etc. But what's really interesting is that, you know, whether it's a mature Amazon market or a new Amazon market, you know, we are seeing, both from our data, from what we can see in our tool, and also data from external research tools, that, you know, this cross-border, multi-Amazon selling activity going on from various parts of the world. It's really, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, and I'm really curious to hear, like, what was a few of the things from that data, from that research, that was surprising to you? Like, is there a certain country that you were like, whoa, like, I didn't expect there to be so many sellers from this particular country?
Yeah. So there are two really interesting data points. So number one is China. I don't think that's surprising, but I think everyone knew, or all the Amazon sellers kind of know, that there's Chinese sellers out there, but actually looking at the numbers and seeing that in literally every single Amazon market around the world, there are Chinese sellers there, was pretty shocking. Like, I thought, okay, it's going to be US, UK, you know, they'll be there. But actually, it's US, UK, Poland, Sweden, Australia, Singapore. It's literally there everywhere. So it's pretty crazy. Second thing that was really interesting was the amount of Turkish sellers. Now, I know that there is an Amazon in Turkey, but what I didn't expect was the level of sellers from Turkey selling globally. Now, obviously, there are some Turkish sellers using our platform, but the research itself actually validates that, you know, it's in the high double digit kind of percentages, depending on what market you're looking at. And then
wow,
I thought to myself, well, let's try and see on YouTube or, you know, Google, are there big Amazon Turkey kind of seller communities? And there are. I was like seriously surprised. Like there's a lot of Turkish content out there about selling globally. So it's completely fascinating. And to your point, you know, where you see the most Turkish sellers is actually Australia and Singapore. Very interesting stuff.
That is very interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't have expected that one at all. And just from my own subjective experience at the Kenji ROI agency, we have a good solid amount of South Korean clients as well. Like probably about 15 or 20 of them have come through in the, you know, over the past 6 months. And you wouldn't really expect South Korea to be a big hotbed for that kind of stuff. But it just goes to show the world that we live in right now is, you know, localization doesn't really matter, right? You can be in Turkey and you can have a multiple seven-figure or an eight-figure Amazon business. It really doesn't matter. And it one thing that surprises me too, let me know if you're seeing some of this as well. One thing that really surprises me all the time is seeing big sellers from countries that you would assume are just, you know, like a third world country that their economy is not really supportive of this kind of thing. I've seen eight-figure brands from India, from Pakistan, from places you just really wouldn't expect it coming. Have you seen things like that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, some of those countries, because they have no Amazon globally and like this is their business, you know, Amazon is their business. I think they've become, you know, to paraphrase you, Danny, hyper-focused on growth and you know, that it's definitely common. I've seen Thailand, I've seen Indonesia, even some pretty big sellers there, you know, Russia, etc. Like it's just amazing. It's amazing to see.
Yeah. It's definitely a different world here, but shifting over to the reporting side of things here. So this is a interesting thing that I've really been learning over the past 6 months, especially in my own business basically reporting is so, so important. And the bigger that you get, the more important the reporting and your metrics and your KPIs all become. So in my own experience, as an example, like we obviously had certain KPIs and financial data to look at and things like that, but we weren't really tracking our internal KPIs that well. Like each team member, how much output were they having? Like were they, you know, were we as a whole able to produce a certain amount of X KPI every single day, every single week and everything like that. And just not having that data caused a lot of things to fly under the radar for much longer than it should have, right? So now that we do have a system set up where every team member has to input certain KPIs and we can see what's going on, we have a much better overview of the health of every single part of our business. And the great thing about that is that we can see something that is maybe, you know, needs to be looked into more immediately instead of 2 months later when all these things start happening and they're like, why are these things happening? And now you have to look into it and realize that it wasn't happening correctly for 2 months or something like that. So, I mean, that's just something that I went through recently. I want to hear your thoughts on, you know, why KPIs and reporting in general is so important, especially for Amazon sellers.
Yeah, look, you know, as you know, Danny, you know, we work with sellers across the globe and a lot of them will have more than one Amazon, right? So for them, just using one of our users as an example, he has, I think, 12 Amazon marketplaces around the world. And for him, like just before we even get into KPIs, like I remember him showing me, you know, he had 22 tabs open in his Google Chrome. And he's like, this is how I see all of my performance, you know, in this is my reporting. This is my reporting suite. I'm like, okay. So starting at the real basics, like for him, you know, with so many Amazons, he needed to see them all in one place, not only to kind of see what's going on, but also to compare them, understand where his sales are coming from. You know, how is this channel tracking versus that? Like, you know, for him, just centralized visibility of the basics was like, you know, so important to his success. And to your point, Danny, like so important to kind of showing where, you know, where he should focus his time and on perhaps what's not working. So, but getting in a little bit deeper than that, you know, reporting at a kind of a sales level is important to a lot of people, but also like getting into the granularity of like ASIN level profit, like ASIN level, you know, advertising costs and all that kind of stuff, you know, to do that for a lot of sellers is super important, especially the guys that are hyper-focused on like, you know, a small stack of products and then that's kind of like their main game. You know, they need to get into the granularity of all different KPIs. But what we notice, you know, a lot of sellers even struggle with the easy part, which is, you know, what's going on across all of my channels, you know, as a baseline.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point you have about ASIN level metrics. So that's one thing that a lot of our clients struggle with. It's actually very rare. I would say maybe 20-25% of our clients that we ask the question, you know, what is your actual real net profit margin for this product, or like just any kind of ASIN level metrics, they can't tell us, right? All they can really tell us is what's in their Amazon business report of how much they sold at the end of the day of that one product. But that is kind of a big hole or a gap in Amazon's reporting. Like in Amazon ads, there's no easy way for you to go and see ASIN level metrics. It's just all by campaign or portfolio or something like that. So I think that's a really important takeaway for people here. If you don't have any way to calculate your ASIN level metrics without opening up three different spreadsheets and then putting all the data together and stuff like that, then you can get yourself into some trouble, right? You could be unprofitable for an ASIN for months and without even realizing it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think anecdotally, at least from the users that we work with, you know, the reason why we built that ASIN level kind of profitability module in our tool is because, you know, they'd gone through that exact problem, Danny. They're like, oh crap, you know, this ASIN hasn't even been making money for X amount of time, you know, and I need kind of on demand visibility of that. So everything that we built in our product is because, you know, the sellers have evolved their needs of what KPIs they need to see, because it's becoming like, you know, not profitable for their business, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so what are, you know, what is the solution really to that? Like this guy who has 22 Chrome tabs open here, obviously is not a good solution. Is it bringing all the data together into one dashboard, or like what should be the right approach to actually have usable data in front of you as an Amazon seller?
Yeah. So, if I'm to talk about our product without kind of sounding like some sales guy, for him, the basics were get all of the data into one place, right? You know, there's a multitude of ways you can do that. You can build your own kind of dashboard with some BI tool. But for him, he just thought he doesn't have time to do that. So he just used our tool, which out of the box, you know, he just connected all of his Amazon stores and he could see everything in one place. Now, beyond that, our tool actually allowed him to drill down into whatever ASIN he needs to see profitability at an ASIN level. So for him, seeing everything and seeing ASIN level metrics was key. And, you know, he didn't have time to build something to his own spec. So he just used our platform. And for now, like he's pretty happy with our product, because, you know, it means he just doesn't have to dwell over 22 Chrome tabs, put it bluntly.
Yeah. And I've taken a look at your product and it certainly seems like one of the better dashboards put together there. One thing I want to bring to people's attention is, especially about these kind of dashboards and like Power BI tables and things like that, or Google Data Studio, it can get very, very complicated. It is possible to pull together data from many different sources into these nice reports and stuff like that, like, you know, the Google Data Studio or some of these programs, but it can be a mess in itself, right? Like we built a Google Data Studio, a bunch of Google Data Studio reports, and we have to pay this data provider like quite a significant chunk of money every month for that. And if we want any changes, we need to have a developer make changes on it. And, you know, things break fairly often, and then it requires some maintenance for someone to go and to keep it up to date. it's actually usually more trouble than it's worth to get together all this fancy stuff than it is to, one, just either use a service software company that actually has it figured out. And for the stuff that you can't get into the software, just have manual input, right? So like a spreadsheet, get your team members to put stuff into a spreadsheet if it's really basic. Or if you have a larger team, like we do, we use a software called Simple KPI, which is, it's $100 a month, but it's unlimited team members, and all the team members input their daily KPIs in there that like things that are subjective or things that we can't track with software. We can't pull in from Google Analytics or whatever. And they just manually input it every day. And we can have that data together. And sometimes it's, you know, for the simple things, sometimes it's better to take this simple manual input approach than to try to get together all this fancy tech and then create this Frankenstein of a thing that breaks all the time. And you have to hire developers to even function it.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I think, you know, for a lot of sellers, I think, Danny, that's really pragmatic advice. Like, you know, just keep it as simple as possible to start off with, and just don't go crazy if you don't have to. You know, if you can do it in a simple manual way, then definitely start that. I think the key message I think both you and I are saying is get something going so you can measure and, you know, improve on what how you're performing.
Yeah, and I want to hear your stance on this, because you see a lot of Amazon sellers. From my experience, I would say the majority, a significant majority of Amazon sellers who are like under, let's say, 3 million in sales per year, have no idea these kind of metrics. Like they have very basic reporting. Like if you ask them important KPIs of their business, they just couldn't tell you. They'd have to open up a bunch of spreadsheets and create some custom report to even figure this out. And like, you can tell that they haven't even really thought to be tracking that. Is that your experience?
Yeah, I think by the fact I'm smiling, I think you can tell I definitely have heard some horror stories. And to the point where, you know, some of them just say to us, yeah, I just take the settlement figure out of Amazon and I just compare that to what I spent and that's it. Like that's yeah. Really their kind of that's their yardstick. But I would say that, you know, I spoke at this conference in Singapore last Sunday, and I think it's starting to change, Danny, which is great, right? You know, a lot of these people are starting to think about it at the start of their Amazon journey. Like they're actually thinking, okay, I'm going to start selling some product and whatever. I actually need to consider at least something out of the gate to measure if I'm making money or not. And I think, you know, it kind of makes sense, you know, when we see the professionalization of Amazon selling kind of, you know, growing. If I compare it to just other small business in general, like in Australia, for example, it's quite normal for very small businesses to deploy an accounting system from day one, right? You know, if I look at Amazon selling, you know, it's now becoming more commonplace to deploy something from day one to measure how your performance is going. So I think, yes, I've heard some horror stories, but I also I sense at least that it's changing a bit. Yeah, is that something that you also sense as well, Danny?
Yeah, I think you're right. Just about the trend in general of the Amazon seller space, it's maturing quite a bit. So like, you know, like Helium 10 is a great example of that. They're just a behemoth of a software company. I think over 100 employees now, I heard from somebody. And like Brian Johnson's Amazon ads agency, over 100 employees now as well. Like there's quite a few players who are very well matured, and the industry as a whole is just becoming more professionalized and more valuable, right? It's not as much of a Wild West as it was 5 years ago when I started the Kenji ROI agency. There was dozens and dozens of companies all doing the same thing. None of them were really that mature. Everyone's trying all this stuff. Half of them were actual scams. And it's not really like that anymore, right? It's a lot more legitimized.
Yeah, which is great for I think the industry as a whole, and I think you know, everyone on the periphery, like aggregators and acquirers and investors and all that, look at this industry as a very serious part of the economy, digital economy, that is.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And James, I'm really curious to hear if there's any particular data points or holes in Amazon sellers reporting that you see as like the common ones where like people just aren't, you know, in mass. Amazon sellers are just missing this like key metric or this certain type of report and people just commonly miss a certain thing like that. Does anything come to mind?
Oh, look, I could talk to you for hours about this, Danny. But I would say it's definitely the ASIN level profit. Like a lot of, we see sellers that, you know, perhaps don't have anything. Then we see sellers that have like account level profit. So they know profitability at perhaps, you know, at a month by month level, you know, net of everything. They know their COGS, they know their gross profit margin, et cetera. But ASIN level, you know, I think that's what's missed with a lot of people. Like I know that some of our tech team, like our help desk, catch up with some sellers and sometimes they just point out and say, oh, did you know that this ASIN is not at all profitable or hasn't been for a fairly long time? Because our tool can like chart, you know, its profitability over time for a particular ASIN. So some sellers say, no, I had no idea that that was the case. So I think, you know, and I'm kind of echoing you as well here, Danny, that, you know, ASIN level metrics is, you know, something that a lot of sellers miss. And when they do find out about it, they're like, okay, that makes complete sense. Why I need to track that.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment. And I mean, it's a complicated problem. So I think the reason why people are not tracking it is because Amazon doesn't provide you any easy way to track it, because you have your data inside of Amazon Seller Central business reports of your organic sales, but then your Amazon Ads data is separate in separate reports over there in advertising. And within Amazon Ads, they don't offer any aggregation of, you know, across all of your campaigns, how is one ASIN doing across all of your campaigns? That you have to figure out yourself or with a third-party software provider. And then you need to take all this data and then put it all together. And then maybe you bring in your Facebook ads data or some, you know, and then your actual cost of goods sold. Like there's definitely no out-of-the-box solution that Amazon's handing you to calculate this kind of stuff. And it's actually pretty complicated, right? There's a lot of stuff that goes in there. So what are the real key data points that if someone is going to calculate their ASIN level metrics, like what are the key data points they need to bring in and consider?
Yeah. So, look, I think as a baseline, you need to bring in everything that Amazon is charging you. Like some people don't really attribute all of the selling costs. Like, you know, you can go a bit crazy, but I'm talking about storage, returns, refunds, anything. I'm talking about everything. Like I think some sellers don't capture the full extent of what Amazon is charging you, right? The second thing we see that's not often done well, which is exactly what you said, the actual advertising attribution, both on Amazon and externally. So I think when people calculate profit, they've sometimes, whether they forget or it's just too complicated, that external cost attribution, like you said, Facebook or Google or whatever, you know, we don't really, you know, a lot of sellers kind of overlook that. Don't really know why, but there's, you know, I think that's one weakness area as well. So I think, you know, I'm kind of echoing you here again, Danny, but it's this, you know, I'd say the full scope, like sellers considering the full scope of what costs are associated to selling that ASIN is not really done well.
Yeah. And I mean, so it's a big problem to attribute external traffic to Amazon, right? That's a very, very complicated problem. And I think most Amazon sellers don't realize how complicated of a problem it is until they start to actually try to do it and realize that it's, you know, you got to be basically a genius to actually do it properly. So to give you guys some idea, I would look into a software called Hyros. So, I mean, for most people, you're not going to actually want to use this software unless you're spending, you know, at least $15,000 or $20,000 a month in ad spend on Facebook or Google or something like that. But to give you an idea, this is a software that is built solely for the purpose of finding the real attribution of a sale. So let's take the example of someone buys something on Amazon, but that person also clicked on one of your emails. They also clicked a Facebook ad and they viewed a Google ad, all within some time period over a month. This is like a pretty typical case. Well, guess what? Google Ads is going to take attribution for it. So they're counting that as a conversion to Google Ads. Facebook Ads also is counting that as theirs. And they're also taking a conversion. And same with your email software, right? So now you have three conversions for one actual sale. They're all taking attribution. Like it's very, very complicated problem to solve. That's why companies like Hyros exist, to actually try to solve this problem. So it's not an easy task to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what a lot of sellers are realizing is that, you know, when you actually go and attribute all of those things, like the costs start to stack up and it becomes material to your, you know, your crew profitability.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because maybe you're profitable without calculating your Facebook ad spend, but as soon as you throw that in there, you're negative $5,000 or something like that. Right. That's a big difference. Profitable to negative $5,000. You're going to want to know about that. So, but awesome, James, this has been a really interesting insight into global selling on Amazon, profitability on Amazon and everything like that. So, thank you so much for your time coming on here. If people want to reach out to you and learn more about what you're doing, Merchant Spring and everything like that, where's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, just hit me up on LinkedIn, drop me a message. I will reply, or even just, you know, I'm sure I'll share my email with you, Danny. So email, or just go to our site and hit up the chat bot and say you want to talk to me. It's the best way to get me.
Boom, there we go. And we'll put the links and James's email in the show notes at kenjiroy.com/blog. And thanks so much for listening, guys. And if you haven't already, go and leave a review for the Actualize Freedom podcast. I really appreciate every review and I always read all of them and very much appreciate it. Really helps us with this show. So thank you so much, James, and enjoy the rest of your day over there in Australia.
Thanks, Danny.
Cheers.
For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit kenjiroy.com.